Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 43. In verse 1, Yahweh says this to the people of Jacob/Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I called you by your name. You belong to me. This is our text. Now, I'm sure that at one time or another, perhaps for some of us it has been many times, that we have all experienced extreme fear or worry to the point that it has actually seriously affected our ability to think, speak, or function as we'd like, right? Now, these two emotions, fear and worry, in fact, work together as two ends of a very dangerous, even crippling rope. The famous Christian author Max Lucado, in his book Fearless, says that when fear moves in, happiness moves out. When our hearts are filled with fear, he reasons, there is no room for anything else. In other words, you can't be confident and afraid at the same time. Nobody says that he has a new spring in his step now that he worries more. Yes, fear grabs us. Worry takes hold of us. And when that happens, we find that we are tied up as captives by what are often called fear knots. K-N-O-T-S. Think, for example, of those knots in your stomach when you think about tomorrow's surgery, or the next day's exam at school, or the court date that is coming up, or the difficult conversation that you know you must have to work out a conflict. Fear knots are those concerns that bind our hearts when we are worried about our children. Those things that tie us up and refuse to let us go. That fear that exhausts our energy and makes us weak. Well, my fellow believers in Christ, Isaiah tells us today that our God comes to us in his undeserved love to release us from our fear. To those who are filled with fear and tied up by worry, he says both in verses 1 and 5 of our Old Testament reading, fear not, N-O-T. That means we can be hopeful. We can have confidence in God because he promises us here when he tells us, fear not, that he has come to release us from the worries and fears, from the fear knots that seek to tie us up and bind us in our sin. At the time of our Old Testament reading in Isaiah 43, the people of Jacob, or Israel, were all bound up by fear knots. They were worried about how God felt about them. After all, they had disobeyed God time and again. Beginning in the wilderness with Moses, they had the gall to complain against God. They doubted his power. They questioned his goodness, and they turned to idols. And this continued for years into and through the days of the judges and the kings. But it's not like God had just been silent or inactive. He warned his people against their idolatry, and yet they refused to listen. Instead of changing, instead of repenting, they actually told the prophets to stop preaching, even throwing some of them into prison, even killing others. Well, finally, Yahweh had enough. At the end of chapter 42, immediately before our text, Isaiah reminds Israel who it was that put them back into the sorry state of slavery that they were currently in. He asked, quote, "Who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not Yahweh against whom we have sinned? He poured on Israel the heat of his anger and the might of battle." It's easy to see why they were so afraid, right? I mean, it's never a good thing to have God's anger burning against you, right? And so they were afraid of their future as well. Oh, sure, God had promised that their exile would last only 70 years. Only 70 years. But would he keep his promise? After all, they had sinned against Yahweh. They certainly deserved his anger. They had absolutely earned his punishment. So would he? Could he still be faithful to his word? Could God still forgive them? Would he take them back as his people, back to their home? These fear knots had them all tied up. You and I understand this, don't we? Because we too are often bound by fear knots. Like Israel, we have disobeyed God over and again. I mean, we openly confessed at the beginning of the worship service today all our sins and iniquities with which we have offended God, so that we justly deserved his temporal and eternal punishment. Now, I heard you all say it. Yes, we poor, miserable sinners, we have actually rebelled against God. In Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3, King David writes this: "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" So, who are those kings? Who are those rulers who set themselves against Yahweh? Ultimately, folks, it's you and it's me. We still want to be our own kings. We want to be the ones who rule over our own lives. And so we actively rebel against God and his fourth commandment, for example. When we knowingly complain about our employer, whom God has put in authority over us. Or when we break the speed limit, which is going against the authorities. Or when we refuse to do the homework that our teachers assigned to us. Or we disrespect the leaders that God has placed over us in government or other places. I mean, really, we could do the same thing with every one of the Ten Commandments if you'd like, couldn't we? Like the way that we put our own desires first before God and his word, that's the first and third commandments. Or when we continue to swear and misuse his name, that's the second commandment. Or when we lie and twist the truth with others through gossip and other hurtful talk. That's the eighth commandment. Do I need to go on? I don't think so. But no wonder we tell God that we justly deserve his temporal and eternal punishment, because we do. It's no wonder that we often are afraid of God, worried about what he thinks of us. Look even at Martin Luther. He was so afraid of God and his wrath that he nearly fainted when he was consecrating Christ's body and blood for the very first time that he led a communion service. He wanted to run away from God. Many people still think that that's the answer when they leave the church, for example. Thinking that there's no way God can actually love and forgive me. Not with all of my sin. But friends, that is absolutely not the case. Letting fear, letting worry, letting guilt tie you up and win in keeping you away from God? No. We must deal with God according to His own words and terms, not according to the world, not according to the devil, or not according to our own fear and worry. Sometimes that worry and anxiety even tears us down in our faith, causing us to doubt the God that we once trusted so firmly, expressing our fear and anger at God and other people. These are all fear knots that bind us up as well. But we cannot, thinking about our Lord Jesus, we cannot say that Jesus was ever bound with fear knots, can we? Though He faced temptation and stress and trouble more than any one of us can ever know. He was never tied up. He never prevented. He was never paralyzed from doing what He needed to do. And yet, as He came to John at the Jordan River, about to begin His earthly ministry, facing the prospect of Satan's attacks and horrors and the horrors of His crucifixion, and the duty that He had to save the entire world? You don't think that might cause some stress and worry? I mean, He certainly knew the terrors of this world. Hebrews 5, verse 7 tells us that, quote, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Isaiah takes all of this legitimate fear and worry into account. And he starts out our text today saying, But now, He comes to God's people to comfort us. Yes, Yahweh was angry, but now His anger is taken away. Yes, He punished His people, Israel, but now He will do so no longer. Now He will save them. Now He will protect them. He even tells them in verse 4 that they are precious and honored in His sight. And He says straight out, I love you. This is Yahweh, the just and righteous God over all, coming to release His people from our fear knots. So how does He begin? He says, fear not. Remember what I have done for you. I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. These words are so powerful. Created and formed. That takes Israel and you and me all the way back to the very beginning of time. God is the one who made them into a nation. More than that, He redeemed them from Egypt, punishing Pharaoh and drowning him in the Red Sea. He made Israel His holy and chosen people. He placed His name upon them. They belong to Him that day and forevermore. This is Yahweh calling the people out. Remember who I am. I am not just the Creator. I am your Creator. I am not merely the Holy One, but the Holy One of Israel, of you. I am not just the King. I am your King. Because Yahweh is their God and Israel is his people, they can live from that day forward in confidence, no longer bound, no longer controlled by fear. And then when he talks about passing through the waters, walking through the fire, in verse 2, together that forms a picture of every and any danger that we can face in this world. But it makes no difference, because God promises that he is with his people. He will bring them through. The water cannot overwhelm, nor can the fire burn them, because Yahweh promises in verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with you." And friends, what God says to Israel, what the Father said to his Son Jesus at the moment of his baptism, when he was facing the road that would take him to his suffering on the cross, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is the truth that he speaks clearly to you and to me now in our baptism. In fact, God declares his love and presence with us 100 times over. He created us. He gave us life in baptism. He made us his own, regenerating us individually in the glory of his Son, and molding us all together into one body of believers as his bride, the church. You are not part of a small church in Fort Lupton, Colorado. You are part of the church of Jesus Christ. Too numerous to number. You are part of the ultimate mega church. God's mega church. Amen. Oh, I lost my place in my notes. In fact, God declares his love and presence with us 100 times over. Once in 1 Peter, he says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's holy people." Yes, God has made us a nation of priests. We are his ambassadors to this entire world. We belong to him, to serve him, to declare him, to be loved by him. In verse 4, Yahweh told Israel that he gave Egypt for them, that he gave men in return for you, he says. But in fact, he has done so much more for us. He gave the one and only man in our place, the only one that could save us, poor, miserable sinners. He gave his Son Jesus, allowing him to be nailed to the cross. Jesus paid for your sin. He bought us back from death and hell and made us his own forever. It's there at the cross that something truly miraculous happened. Even though we disobeyed and rebelled against God, even though we deserved his full wrath and punishment right along with Israel, Yahweh did not punish us. Can you believe that? You should. Because instead he punished his perfect Son. All of our disobedience, all of our rebellion, all of our sin was laid on him. As Isaiah would later say, "He, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." And now in our baptism, God has reached down from heaven and he has placed his name, the name of Jesus, upon us. You and I, Martin Luther said, are now little Christs. Our name is Christgen, because we belong forever to Christ, our Savior. But understand this very clearly. We are His only because of what He has done. We don't deserve grace, and yet God is gracious. We are not faithful to Him, but God remains faithful to us. We did not choose God. He's the one who chose us. And therefore, Yahweh is not just the Savior. He is your Savior. He is not just the Lord God, but He is the Lord your God. And since God has done all of that for us, you and I don't need to be afraid of Him ever again. We are His beloved children. And since we are His children, we do not need to fear whatever life might throw our way. Make no mistake. We will be tested, though. We will. This is a promise from God. We will have many trials and be confronted perhaps even more with more challenges because we belong to Christ. But God has promised to bring us through all of them. In the world you will have tribulation, Jesus said in John 16:33. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Ah, praise the Lord. So whenever the fears, whenever the worries of this life try to tie you up into fear knots, remember that your God comes to you in His Son Jesus, and He says, "Fear not, for I have created you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you by the blood that I shed on the cross. Fear not, for I have marked you and claimed you by my name in your baptism. You are mine." So be confident, dear Christian, in your Savior. Let His word undo your fear knots so that you can live in His promise. Fear not, I am with you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in your Savior, Jesus Christ, today and forever. Amen.